Morning.
No?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Sorry about this. Are we on? Morning. Oh, wow. Well, while Luke does... Aye. Is that too loud? Good morning. So my name is Patrick. I'm one of the leaders here at Silver Street. Zambians are not known for their timekeeping. So Luke, I will do my best to keep in the same on short. But can I encourage you to have a Bible? If you haven't got a Bible, you will need it. Just put your hand up so that then we all travel together. If you haven't got a Bible, there's a young lady down there. It'd be great if we could all have the Bibles with us. So we start a short series in the book of Psalm. I'm doing the first one, and a couple of others will be doing the next two books from Psalm. But before we read God's word, let's bow our heads and pray. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. By your Spirit, please, Heavenly Father, shine the light on your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, please help us. May we leave this place rejoicing more than we've ever done before for what you've done for us. And may those that are not yours leave this place today, having believed and trusted and known you as Lord and Savior. Please do a miracle of your work here, we ask, to the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, turn with me, please, to Psalm 145. I think it's page 631. That's right, page 631. Page 145. Psalm 145. Oh, I see. He's already put it up there. That's a spoiler, isn't it? But thank you. Songs of praise. One for that. So, are we all there?
Yep.
Not quite. Okay, here we go. So, Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commands your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is God, good to all. He has compassion on all he's made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. And the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food at their proper time. You open their hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. And the Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Well, as you've seen there, we're looking at daily inevitable overflowing praise. I pray that as we look at God's word, that will be obvious to you. So last month, my friend Gareth, invited me to Wembley Football Club. I've never been before. We were going to watch the final of the FA Cup. I was very excited. It was a really good day, sunny. And once we got on the train, as we got closer and closer to Wembley Stadium, we started hearing this random singing of various supporters singing on the train. But we come out of Wembley Football Club. Whoa, 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 one tune says. And another one sings out their own thing. So there are different colours of different supporters of football. It was amazing to see this passion of all these people singing. Then as we got in, I said to girls, oh, fancy a quick drink before we go? And he said, oh, that sounds good. I said, I'm paying, don't worry. And he didn't really protest very much, but never mind. Anyway, so we got a drink, and while we're having a drink, we met two other supporters. They weren't as confident as the other ones that we'd seen before. We had a quick drink, chatted to these guys, and then we got into the football ground itself. Whoa! As soon as I got in, there was all these huge flames in that corner, that corner, that corner, all four corners of Wembley. And then there's these supporters singing, where, and then there's another one going, whoa, I was well overwhelmed. And that was not it. All of a sudden, this professional lady singer comes in the middle, wow, it was amazing. There was wonderful passion of whatever gripped them. But Gareth will tell you this. It was an amazing experience. I wonder, church family, what gets your passion? What gets your passionate singing? In preparation for this sermon, I googled 10 things worth praising. Here's what came up. So this website allows you to add on whatever you think is worth praising. And so I googled, I'm not going to tell them to you in order, but it's 10 things worth praising. Here's what came up. Every one of them has got a comment in the brackets. So the first one was supermarkets. You can get all you want there. So that's worth praising, supermarkets. The second one, paramedics. When you want them, they will come to you. The third one, water companies. They look after the water we don't use up so that then you can use it later. Another one, holiday lights. You cannot get into that Christmas mood without the holiday lights, so that's worth praising. Number five, beer. It's been said that beer is the proof that we are loved because it makes us happy. Here's the last one. Emotionally honest people and neighbourly neighbours. They share the magic moments and love. Church family, this list of things I've shared with you is nowhere near the truth. Before we go any further, let's just think for a moment. What gets your passionate singing? What gets your passion for anything? The passage we just read, I didn't give you much time to think. The passage we read in the original text in Hebrew, it says that it's a text known as the Hebrew alphabet of the psalm. The verses cover every letter of the alphabet. I'm sorry to disappoint you that because I don't know much about Hebrew, I cannot say any more than that. Apart from, in the original text, every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is covered in the psalm that we just read. As you will have noticed, the passage is saturated with wonderful verses about King David's praise. So why is David doing this? Why is he not mentioning some of those 10 things worth praising that we just shared? Why is David so overwhelmed in praise? Well, church family, I have three reasons. I picked up three reasons. You can probably find more than three, but I have three reasons. Seth, the first reason I picked up was David is someone that knew God as, another one said, David knew God as King and Lord. And we see that in verse 1 and 2. David knew God as his King and as his Lord. So he made a personal commitment to exalt him. Exalt, really, young people means lift up. Enthusiastically praise someone, lifting someone up. So he'd made a personal commitment to exalt him, to exalt the Lord. And we see that in verse 1. Verse 2, verse 6, and verse 21. He was overwhelmed He was overflowing with praise. And it's a bit like, you know, when a couple have a baby, all they talk about seems to be baby this, baby. Oh, we were kept up last night. Oh, the baby's not feeding. Oh, please. But thank you if you've just been a parent. I've been there. But do you know what I mean? Quite often, new parents, all they seem to talk about is the baby. Or a couple that's got engaged, what do they talk about? Wedding. Is the wedding dress ready? Are the suits ready? Oh, the best man, and has he done this? It's all about the wedding. All you hear about is either the newborn baby or... It's a bit like that, isn't it? But for David, he was overwhelmed with talking and praising God. And this commitment was for every day. Did you notice? If you look down to verse 2, it was for every day. But it wasn't just for every day. It was for... I didn't hear that. For... Forever. It wasn't just for one day. Every day, forever. David had committed to praise the Lord every day of his life. Isn't that wonderful? But why? By the way, David himself was a king. If you're a Christian today, you'll realize that David was a king who went through all sorts of things. But David realized that even though he was a king, that wasn't going to prevent him from bowing down to the only true God. If you want to learn more about David, I'm restricted with time, as Luke said. Read 1 and 2 Samuel. You will find lots and lots of details about David. Anyway, so David knew God personally as his God and King, and there was nothing worth praising daily and forever apart from his God and King. He knew God to be trustworthy in all his promises. He won in many battles. Do you remember the Philistines? Yes. Do you remember the Philistines?
Yes.
Yes. Did God win him the battle with the Philistines?
Yes,
he did. Do you remember that big story of David and Goliath? Do you remember? Goliath was not small. I mean, he was.
Yes.
Could David defeat Goliath?
Yes.
Well, how could he do it? Because God won the battle for him. So, the Philistines were defeated because of God. Goliath was taken down because of God's help. So David knew God to be his rescue. But even more than that, do you remember Saul? King Saul, who was forever trying to kill David. Did he manage it? No, because God rescued David. He rescued him with so many different times. And once the Amalekites, they were coming, and what happened? He took them all down. Why? Because God won there. You're with me. Thank you. So David knew God as king and Lord. That's the first reason. The second reason, David knew the Lord as mighty and majestic. Say it. God knew the Lord as... David knew the Lord as mighty and majestic. Read with me verse 5. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. Skip down to 11 and 12. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts. Yes, these other people like David also knew him in the same way. It's not just David, but there's others. They too could not help but tell of your kingdom. A kingdom that will not last for 2 days, but will last for... Thank you. A kingdom that will last forever. Did you notice that one generation commends his works to another? They tell his awesome power to the next generation. They celebrate his abundant goodness. I like that. Think about it. David's father was Jesse. Jesse's father was
Obed.
Obed's father was Boaz. And Boaz was married to Ruth. And if you know the story about Ruth and how he got married to Boaz, it's amazing how God connected things. But friends, Ruth was in a hopeless situation, but according to God's plan, ended up marrying Boaz. Now please stay with me. You see, friends, back in 2 Samuel 7 and Isaiah 9, God promised that David will have someone who will sit on his throne forever. And God promised the Lord Jesus will reign on David's throne. Forever. Not for 2 days, forever. And do you know what? David believed God's promise. The king, the savior, the Messiah was coming to save his people. So through all these generations, the Lord is spoken of. The generation that knew him, tell the next generation about his mighty acts to the next generation. So they knew God as king, They knew him as mighty and majestic. They also knew that he governs everything. And we see that in verse 16. If you glance down to verse 16, you see what I mean. He governs everything. And that's not all. He provides for every living thing. He upholds all who fall. He lifts up all who bow down. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He watches. He is great. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is faithful again. He is near to all who call on him. We read on several occasions that David calls on the Lord. I'm not making this up. That list I've just said to you is all in the passage. It's amazing, isn't it? Did you just... I went through them very quickly. Provides for every living thing. He upholds those who are bent down. He fulfills their desires. He watches. He is great. He is faithful. He is righteous. What an amazing God we have. As I said, we read on several occasions when David calls to the Lord in prayer. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. So David knew God as his King and Lord, majestic and mighty, as he witnessed some things that God did. So remember, we're thinking, why is he overflowing in this praise? So we've got two reasons so far, isn't it? He's King and Lord, as Lord and mighty, and he couldn't help it but praise the Lord. One more. David also knew God as gracious and compassionate. If you look down to verse 8, you will see that in verse 8, that David knew God as gracious and compassionate. Let's read verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Did you notice that the Lord is not just compassionate to some people, but to all he has made? And we see that in verse 9. Full of love, slow to anger, providing rain on the good and the bad. When it rains in Enfield or anywhere else in Edmonton, it rains on everybody, doesn't it? The good and the bad. He provides food for the at proper times. He opens up his hands and he satisfies all. Friends, you might be sitting here thinking, that's well and good. David wasn't anywhere sinful as I am. Oh yes, it was different for him long ago, and he doesn't realize the things that I go through today. Friends, David was a man who fell well short of God's perfect standards. Again, if you read 1 Samuel 1 2, you will discover that David looked at women lustfully. He committed murder. He pretended to be mad, an insane man, just to get away with something. He slept with another man's wife. He told lies. He married another man's wife after getting that man killed. But David found God to be gracious and compassionate. He realized his sins and confessed after the prophet Nathan confronted him. Turn with me to Psalm 51. You see what I mean? So that then you realize what I'm talking about. Psalm 151. Have mercy on me, O God. This is David speaking after he's been caught in some sins. Page 573. Psalm 151. Psalm 51. What did I say? Oh, I'm so sorry. Psalm 151, page 573. Oh, Psalm 51. Page 573. Okay, I'll read on. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and have done what is evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Friends, David realized that the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He found forgiveness and grace and compassion in the Lord. And what was his conclusion? What was his conclusion? That everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Look with me, verse 21. Let every creature praise his holy name. His mouth will do, this is David, David's mouth will do nothing else but speak in praise of the Lord. If we're here this morning and we believe in our Lord Jesus, who has made God known to us as King and Lord, I simply want to ask you this. Are we praising him every day? Having known his help, helpless times, are we praising him every day for his forgiveness? As King, mighty and majestic, are we telling other generations about him? Are we giving him the best praise? Or are we taken over by the praise of our football club? Praising our children's achievements, praising ourselves for our great job, our holidays, our mission. Are we praising him for our great husband, for our wonderful wife? Are we busy taking selfies, talking about that great film that I watched the other day, that new Fortnite game, that Twitter, Facebook, FaceTime? Does that exist? FaceTime. As parents, are our children learning the truth of the Bible? As adults, are we taking up the opportunities of telling kids around us the good news? Or are we just seeing them, oh, noisy in my way? Are we seeing them, oh, wow, the Lord's brought this child in front of me. I am going to tell him the truth. Or are we just not seeing that as an opportunity? The grace he has shown us is overwhelming. In our conversations with brothers and sisters, are we overflowing with genuine praise? Do we sing praise of our Lord in private, or does that only happen on a Sunday when Luke encourages us to shout out our praise? Are we more ready to sing secular songs? Do we see his compassion and grace, his gracious hand in other people's lives, in our lives? Are we quick to praise that with them? Are we missing that? Are we overflowing with our best praise for Jesus staying in our place? Have we lost the joy of our salvation? Our Lord Jesus came into the world when we were dead in our sins. He was pinned on that cross, separated from the Father, so that we can know him. So that when you die today or tomorrow, you'll be with him in heaven. No one or nothing can take that away from you. Are you praising him for that? Or are you now overtaken with, oh yes, we're going on holiday next week. Oh yes, my child is going to secondary school, so I need to put more effort in getting them ready. No, friends, he died for you. There's nothing else needing to be done. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, are you overflowing with praise for him? Or do we have, when we spend 10 times with our Christian friends, do we have to dig it out to see if we're really rejoicing in him? Or do I look at you after 5 minutes, I'm thinking, oh my word, this young man is looking forward to the Lord coming, or he's looking forward to be with Jesus all the time. Oh, friends, I'm speaking to myself here, not just at you. I realize, perhaps I've lost the joy of my salvation myself. Are you beginning to replace that compassion and grace with your own effort? Oh yes, I'll do it better today. Oh yes, I'll pray more. Oh yes, I'll speak some more to non-Christians. Is the cross not fulfilling that gratitude for you? Are you looking to the cross where he made it possible for us to honor him as King and Lord, fulfilling his might and majesty? Are we overflowing with praise, or does that have to be dug out? Offer your genuine best praise. A bit like those football supporters that I mentioned earlier. Do you know, I don't think there's anyone that was saying, come on, sing it out. Do you think at Wembley Stadium, those guys were being encouraged to do that? No, they were going for it out of their conviction that their team would do it. Friends, we've got more conviction than that city football club that I went and saw. We have the power of our Lord Jesus in our hearts. The Holy Spirit who lives in us, that will never be removed from you. Do you know what? That same Holy Spirit in your heart today, when you go to heaven, you still have it. No one can take it. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Or maybe it's just me. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Yes. For some of us here this morning, it is impossible to praise him because we do not know him. Now read with me verse 18. The Lord is near to all who will call on him, to all who will call on him in truth. There is no way out of your sinful position apart from giving your sins to Jesus. In John 14 verse 6, Jesus says these words. This same Jesus that David believed was coming in his line, the same Jesus that David knew will come and sort out everything, it's the same Jesus that I'm referring to now. In John 14 verse 6, after he's come, Jesus says this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, friends, there's no other way by which we can be saved. There are not many ways. You hear at school, oh, we all need the same God. Oh, we're that way. That. No, there's only one way that leads to God, and that's through Jesus. There is no way by which we must be saved. There are not many ways to the Father. Without Jesus, you will forever be dead in your sins. If at all you've sinned once, then you've fallen short, well short of God's perfect standards. That shame of sin needs to be paid for. You don't have it paid, you'll have to pay for that yourself. That's what the Bible says. It will forever be on you. You have to believe the truth that Jesus died in your place in order to pay for your sins, taking that shame of sin on himself so that you can be free and free of guilt and sin and be part of his family in an honored position. Do you know, I love this verse, you probably have not noticed this. It was actually while we were dead in our sins, while we were still hopeless in our sins, that Jesus came. And what happened was, because Jesus realized, do you know our biggest issue of sin? Jesus realized there's no way out. So he came himself and was treated as if he's the one that committed adultery. He was treated as the one that tells lies. He was treated as the one who always puts himself first. He was treated as the one that's rejected God. So that then we can be welcomed. So that then, if you've sinned once, so that then God can look at you as a perfect person. Because all the perfection of Jesus was laid on us. Isn't that wonderful? All his beauty is now on us. All his loveliness, his trustworthiness, all his righteousness, all his grace, all his marvelousness. Do you know what? That's all lavished on you. All of it is yours. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That is impossible to do that, to have that, unless you take his position. He has swapped position with you and him. He was laid on that cross. On that cross, he had you in mind. Friends, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Like David, you too today can know God through Jesus as your God and King. In his grace and compassion, he willingly gave himself for you. Either you die in your sins, or he returns to judge you in your sins. As I've just said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to start praising him as God, King, mighty, majestic, compassionate, and gracious. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all he has made. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and forever. Friends, as I finish, can I just ask you to, if you're not a Christian this morning, to think, what is it that's keeping you away from this wonderful news? What is it? I am so glad you're here this morning. The Lord Jesus is knocking on your door with abundant grace and compassion. I cannot make you a Christian. If I could, I would have. Lord Jesus can make you a Christian, but you are resisting him. Do you know what he says? He's forever knocking on your door, but he will never force himself in. That's not the Jesus we believe in. You need to let him in, because you've got a choice. Either you let him in, or you say no. But the consequences of saying no are eternal death. I was told not to go on, so I'm going to try very hard not to go on. I want to finish with these words. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. If you know him as King and Lord today, friends, please encourage me. I want to see that praise in you. Please may you encourage me if I'm not encouraging you in that inevitable overflowing praise. It's inevitable, isn't it? It's not forced. I'm not. It'll be sad if I come to you and you're pretending to be, hey, Jesus. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Just your genuine life. It's a bit like a relationship when you're first going out with someone. There's that kind of like excitement, isn't there? That's not a false excitement. There's a genuine relationship. That's what I'm looking for. You know that day that you became a Christian? You remember that joy you experienced that day? Anyone? Ah, that's the one I'm looking for, that one. What's happened? Let's pray that he helps us and brings it back. I'm going to stop now. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that indeed you are mighty and majestic. We thank you that indeed we have been reminded today that indeed you are gracious and compassionate. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do indeed help us in our struggle to genuinely praise you. We do want to say sorry for times that we've not acted in ways that reflect our joy in you. We do want to say sorry for when we've been overwhelmed with praising other things more than you. Please may you create that joy of our salvation in our hearts. That like David, we will be men and women that genuinely praise you. And as a result, we are obvious Christians wherever we might be. For some of us, we cannot pray like this, so I ask please for salvation for those that are not yours yet. And I pray please, Lord, that if there's someone in that situation this morning, that you enable them to speak to someone today before they leave, whether it's someone that invited them here or someone that they know is a Christian already. But we ask please, Lord, that today indeed will be a day of salvation. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening so well and keeping me going. I was encouraged. Just to say, I do know quite a lot of you, and I do see that praise in you, by the way. So I'm not saying I never see it. We'll stand to sing together. We will sing To God Be the Glory, and then Gareth will come and take over. So join me as we stand to sing To God Be the Glory. To who be the glory? God. The God has made himself as God and King, majestic and mighty, gracious and compassionate. Thank you.